This is Community Conversations. Not many people know that April is National Volunteer Month, so today's Community Conversations, we have Mayor Ron Hedenskog here to bring awareness to the importance of volunteerism because we have so many people in our community dedicated to solving problems and taking action on behalf of their neighbors. This is Connie Hunter, a very proud volunteer. Welcome, Mayor Ron. So kicking off this new series called Volunteers Make the World Go Round, I couldn't think of a better person to come out and join us and talk about volunteerism. Thank you for being here today, Mayor Ron. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I know you have to go to the League of Women Voters Candidates Forum since you're running for county commissioner, but this interview isn't a candidate's interview. It's an interview about volunteering and about volunteerism. So thank you for squeezing us into your schedule. I know it's busy, and as always, you're appreciated. So Community Conversations actually missed talking about volunteers during National Volunteer Week, which runs April 10th through April 16th, but that's because I was too busy, guess what, volunteering. So let's talk about inspiring and encouraging people to seek out ways to engage in their communities, including and especially volunteering at the City of Brookings. So, first of all, is the mayor at the city a paid position or is it a volunteer position, Mayor Ron?
All the council positions are volunteer. The mayor is basically a counselor with special duties.
And so, if you were going to give us an idea of what your average week was like in terms of time and workload as a volunteer mayor, tell us about that.
Well, I've never actually done the math on this, but I basically tell people that be the mayor, you need to be prepared to volunteer 10 to 15 hours a week.
But you do more than that, don't you, really?
Yeah, there are weeks probably when I might be up in the 30 and 40, or at least a 30 area. However, on an average, I would say it's 10 to 15 overall the whole year. There's weeks when I have a very light load and maybe only do a couple hours.
Now, do you have office hours where people wanted to come in and visit with you and learn more about what you do as the mayor and learn more about the city?
I think I'm probably one of the first mayors in Brookings that has office hours. I can't recall other mayors doing that. They may have. But in my recent history, they didn't. When I became mayor in 2012, I opened my office up twice a week from 8:30 to 10:30. You can walk in off the street or off the sidewalk, and come have a chat with me.
So they don't even have to make appointments. They show up and first come, first serve, and Mayor Ron will talk to you about whatever issue you're interested in, right?
My door's open, and I got an extra cup for coffee.
Oh, I didn't know you had the extra cup for coffee. I've stopped in a couple of times, and you've accommodated me and given me a lot of good information. And you know what? I think about half your job in dealing with me as a human being is teaching me what I need to know about how local government works. So those of you that are just getting started or just starting to get involved and be engaged as a citizen at the local level, Mayor Ron is just a great resource. So beyond all the city councilors being volunteer, the city has a number of committees and commissions that are staffed by volunteers, right?
Correct.
So can you go ahead?
Yeah, let me interject. I'm actually asking the city council to consider a stipend for council members. And the reason of that is it might be difficult for a working person to hold the position of a mayor. The time away from his job could be compensated for with a stipend, or at least partly compensated for, rather than have to have a retired or usually end up with a retired mayor. We could actually get a working person to be the mayor. Mayor Anderson worked off and on in construction and various times, but he spent quite a bit of time being the mayor without a stipend. I have been retired for a number of years, and so it doesn't really bother my workload at all.
But really, that's a measure of inclusion, not about getting paid. It's just including more opportunities for working people to participate in local government, and that's a great idea. Super. And stipends are not unusual. They're important if there's a cap on them. You know, you're not straining the city budget, you're not straining city resources under those circumstances, right?
Correct.
So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of those committees and commissions that the city has. And I want to start a little bit talking about the Planning Commission, I have to acknowledge that Skip Hunter, my husband, does sit on the Planning Commission with Brian Talung at the helm. Brian Talung is also a KCIW advisory board member who's developing his own radio show. So we appreciate both those volunteers at KCIW and at the city. But Mayor Ron, what exactly does the Planning Commission do?
Planning Commission is a unique commission, and that's why it's called a commission. It's not a committee in the city, in all cities, and even in counties. Their activity is to overview all land actions and some other legislative actions, even in a quasi-judicial format, it's called, at the government level, where their decision is a judgment, not like a court of law, but somewhat similar to a court of law. They're expected to be very unbiased, make an impartial judgment based on the evidence that's presented in their meetings, and they will hold an authority over various properties, and their decision holds in many matters unless it's appealed to the city council.
Did you sit on the Planning Commission in the past?
I was on Planning Commission from 2005 to 2007.
And did you sit on Parks and Rec too?
Never was on Parks and Rec.
Okay, because I couldn't remember if you'd done Parks and Rec. I was pretty sure that you had been on the Planning Commission. My memory serves today. So another commission, is it commission or committee? TPAC.
It's a committee.
So it's a committee, and the distinction between a commission and a committee is?
Committees don't have the authority to make a final decision. They are advisory to the city council.
I just wanted to mention that KCIW has a radio show called Our Community, and the show host, Candace Michelle, also a board member of KCIW, Candace Michelle, sits on TPAC. So what is TPAC and what does TPAC stand for to begin with?
TPAC is the advisory committee over our transient occupancy taxes that are designated for tourism promotions. So a portion of our TOT tax, we call it, transient occupancy tax, that comes in from motels and camping. The largest portion of that comes in from Harris Beach camping, by the way. And then we have the other motels inside the city. And I believe we collect over $100,000. My memory's not jumping on this one real good, but it seems to me I'm ready to go out there and say it's $135,000 or something to that effect a year in TOT tax. A portion of that then is designated for tourism promotion. And so that's why it's called the Tourism Promotion Committee. And they advise the city council on how to spend within parameters and guidelines established by the council that $40,000 this year in those taxes.
So what kind of things get funded by TPAC?
KCIW.
Yay! Good answer.
beer fests, local runs, other types of park fun stuff that takes place that tries to reach out and bring people into the community from outside.
And like the Crab Fest, is that a TPAC event?
Yes, we did. We funded a portion of the Crab Fest. They're usually small fundings. They're not major fundings. But the objective is to at least offset their costs to do outside advertising.
So it really helps anybody that's putting on an event or doing a tourism promotion to have some money to get started, and sometimes that's just enough to make the whole thing work.
That's right.
It's kind of like seed money. I have to mention that Mayor Ron is the person that suggested to KCIW that we talk to TPAC about getting our funding, and what KCIW was actually funded for by TPAC is to create a community calendar exchange with other community-based radio stations throughout the region. So we're working on that. And what I know something about community-based radio stations was years ago, I worked for a record label. I did the West Coast marketing, and that record label was a contemporary instrumental record label, and they could not get airplay. So we used the community-based radio station network, and we were able to get things like gold records and Grammys. So we know that community-based radio station network, especially in the Pacific Northwest, can be hugely effective in the efforts to have community calendar exchanges and let other areas know what we're up to and let other areas let us know what they're up to. So thank you for suggesting that we go to TPAC. We had to really think through and come up with some good marketing strategies to make it work, but we got funded, I believe, at right around $2,500, if my memory serves. Anyway, I want to move on to another important, and it's a commission, is it? Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec's commission.
So that seems like a very interesting volunteer opportunity. Do you want to tell us what the Parks and Rec Commission does?
They have authority over our parks and recreation areas, and they have their own budget. They have their own city staff person, Tony Barron. They hold decisions over what's going to happen to ballparks. We have several of them, this Easy Manor Park, Azalea Park, and as long as they stay within their budget, they have the authority to make their own decisions.
We know that Tony Barron does such a great job as a paid staff member, but I bet you he puts in more hours than he gets paid for, even if he's on salary. So I call him a sneaky volunteer. He is out there working as a volunteer and putting his heart and his encouraging people to participate. So I suppose a lot of his time is actually a labor of love, and I would consider that volunteerism.
Tony Barron has proven to be a very good asset to this community.
In a huge way. In fact, I know that Candace Michelle is going to interview him about all the different parks of the city of Brookings, so we'll look forward to that interview. But Mayor Ron, do you want to list some of the parks so that people know how incredible our park system is for the city of Brookings?
Well, let's start with Easy Manor. It's up on Easy Street. It's a nice little kid's playground. Go down to the ocean. We've got the parking area and the park that's down by the wastewater treatment plant, Chetco Point. We got Azalea Park, of course, which is the gem of the city. It was given to us by the state a number of years ago. It was in a fairly run-down condition. I think the best thing that happened to the city was that the state gave it to us, and the best thing that happened to Azalea Park was that the city took it over. And the second best thing was that, Elmo Williams created the Azalea Park Foundation. They began improving all the health and the grounds for the azaleas. In the 1990s, we had a group of people got together, and I was privileged to work with them, and we built Kid Town. It took us a week and put Kid Town in there in the corner. Tony Barron came on board to the parks, and he helped us redesign all the ball fields in the back, which were coming along very slowly. And if you drive back there today, I think you would be amazed to see the ballparks we have behind Azalea Park, proving to be an asset to this community.
I remember when you could find Elmo Williams standing out at Azalea Park with a garden hose and his sister Snook out there with him. We used to go out once in a while and help, but I wanted to also bring up the Calpella by the Sea because I know they're looking for docents to volunteer to make sure that we can keep that open so that people can come and visit. So do you know a little bit about the Calpella by the Sea needs for docents? If not, we can put it in our narrative.
I do know, just a little bit. We have docents come in periodically, and they come in, and it's a very nice thing to volunteer for this one. If you want a little private time to sit down and read a book or put on some headphones and listen to some particular music and just enjoy the view, enjoy the day, you can sit down there, and you have the doors open and allow visitors to come into the Calpella. Once again, Elmo Williams donated the Calpella to the city. Built it, had it built with his dollar, and donated it to the city. It's great for weddings and other ceremonies. You can go see the city, see Lori Zimmer, and you can rent the Calpella. There's a charge, and great opportunity for you to have a ceremony.
One day, Elmo Williams invited me to lunch. We went to lunch, and afterwards he said, "Will you come with me and see something?" And I knew the Calpella was being built. So we went out there, and they were putting in those roof trusses, which were, they're very tall and very high. And he said, climb up on that ladder and look for me. I'm thinking, I don't want to climb up on that ladder. That's way up there. And here comes a lady that's working on the trusses back down the ladder. And I was like, all right, then if she can come down and go up and do that as a job, I can go up there. So I got up there, looked around, turned around and went back down. But I'll never forget that. He said, will you go and look for me? And that's Elmo Williams. It, just so engaging. And he was such a fantastic guy and encouraged volunteerism in a huge way. So thank you for talking about Elmo.
Let's be sure to mention that the capella is in memory of Elmo's wife, Lorraine. The little story goes along with it. The community objected, some in the community objected to him calling it a chapel and thought that it designated certain religious issues. And so he just said, well, we'll call it the capella. And that name stuck.
Lorraine told me one time that she didn't want Elmo to take on that project because he was getting elderly. And after she passed away, he said he couldn't not do it, that he wanted to share that in her memory. So thank you for mentioning that, because Lorraine certainly was a lovely, lovely lady too. I want to talk a little bit about the golf course, because Salmon Run is now a municipal golf course. I wonder if they're going to need some volunteers out there. I mean, Tony has volunteers that work for the Parks and Rec. Is that true, right out helping in certain ways?
He did, and I'm not sure it was volunteer. Tony, of course, is a salaried individual, so his time is city time, always. Let me say that correctly. Tony is salaried, so he's not on, he doesn't get overtime. So he's always on city time as far as I'm concerned. But we did send out some other public works people who work as timed employees, and we did help. Let's go over some history on that golf course, because this is really important. Bill Fowler, who is was the founder of South Coast Lumber Company, I got to work for him and know him very well. I worked for the company for 20 years. Over that period of time, I got to know Bill fairly closely. We talked to him occasionally. Before Bill died, he had a dream and a goal of donating that Jack Crick property, which is about 160 acres, to the city for a golf course. After he died, his sons did it. And it was a raw ground. It was a pasture full of cow patties. And a creek runs through it. But the dream and the vision that Bill had for a golf course was finally fulfilled. We found a company that would contract to build the golf course and then manage it. And that took a place over a period of several years. And then they managed it for another 12 to 14 years and finally gave up the management of it, citing that it was difficult to make money.
So we talked about Azalea Park and it being a donated piece of property, right?
From the state. Yes.
From the state. And now we're talking about Salmon Run being a donated piece of property. That's another kind of volunteerism, isn't it? Philanthropy.
Yes.
Basically, an anonymous donor gave the property Salmon Run to the city?
Local family anonymous donor.
That's fantastic. I'm wondering, does the Parks and Rec Department have people that come out as volunteers and work on these various, at the various parks? I see people out in front of, for example, the city working and grooming the landscaping there. Is that volunteer work or is that paid?
Well, first of all, we have the Elmo Williams Azalea Foundation that works in Azalea Park. And then we have Brookings Harbor Garden Club. And they take care of the garden down on Constitution Way. And then they contract with the city to take care of the parkway that's between 5th Street and out in front of 101, across from McDonald's and those other stores. And they also, under contract, take care of the grounds at City Hall. And there may be other, I think the fountain area over at the market is part of their contract also.
So they're nonprofits.
They're nonprofits.
The importance of nonprofits and volunteerism go hand in hand, obviously. But I want to get back to talking about committees at the city and opportunities to volunteer. I've heard about the Public Art Committee and recently thought about trying to participate as a volunteer, but I'm too busy. But I appreciate Judy Mae Lopez's work on that committee. Judy's going to retire soon from Rogue Credit Union, so she'll have more time on her hands to volunteer. So we love you, Judy. So what does the Public Art Committee do, Maron?
This was an interesting story, if you don't mind me telling.
I love it.
We came across a request for a mural on the side of a building. We had no ability to permit it or allow it because we didn't have anything in our ordinances for murals. So I can remember joking that, you know, well, why do we have to regulate that? And I said, well, I don't think we want the picture of a semi-nude woman smoking a marijuana cigarette on a mural. Now, that's a tongue-in-cheek little joke that takes you over to the absurd side, but there is a reason why we'd want to regulate that. So we began regulating murals. And rather than have all of this come before the city council all the time, well, let's adopt a committee that reviews murals. And that grew into our public arts committee that is authority over any art form that goes in and out of the city, on the windows, on the walls, statues, and all of that nature.
All that great public art that we have. And there are a lot of nice murals around. So I'm appreciative of the Public Art Committee. And you know me, creative vitality and those kinds of things really give us our identity. And that is a draw. People come to see the beauty of our area, but they also see the beauty of our town. And Public Art Committee certainly contributes to that. Beyond being mayor, you also have a heart of service in our community. Can you tell us a little bit about where you volunteer, Mayor Ron? St. Timothy's, maybe?
Well, once again, every time I start to talk, somebody on the city council will say, oh, here comes a history lesson. So let me give the history lesson. About 8 years ago, two individuals started a soup kitchen at the Seventh-day Adventist Church on Mondays, Ernie Madden and Roger Gilbert. And it got going. It was fairly successful, and they were having a number of patrons coming in every Monday and having a free lunch. And it was the goal was to reach not necessarily homeless and transients, but people who are on low income and having difficulties getting sustenance. Bernie Lindley, who is the vicar at St. Tim's, got heads of it, and he went over and started eating lunch with them, and he asked Roger Gilbert and Ernie Madden if they would start one at St. Timothy's. So it started up at St. Timothy's on Tuesday. So interesting, now we have two community kitchens going, one on Monday, one on Tuesdays. The rest of the week you can starve. Mondays and Tuesdays you get something to eat free for lunch. And it was shortly after that that I volunteered to go down and help at St. Timothy's kitchen and eventually took over management of it and been there for, I think I'm completing my 8th year now.
You know, I love the history lesson, but I also love the fact that you're reminding us of some volunteers who initiated something that has really impacted our community and access to food in a huge way. So thank you for giving us that information.
That's why I like to do that. You know, things start with a dream and a vision. They don't start off in a full run. It starts off with a small dream sometimes and a small vision, and it grows. Our soup kitchen today serves 7 days a week, usually. For sure, 6 days a week, you can get a free lunch in this town at one of the community churches.
That's an amazing accomplishment. Thank you for talking about that. You know, we talked a little bit before the interview, and you wanted to highlight some of the service clubs, because there are certainly a lot of volunteers in service clubs. And what do service clubs do, and what are some of them?
Well, first of all, they're nonprofits, and they have nice big names like Rotary Club, Lions Club, and Elks Club. And they are benefactors to so many people, not just in our community, but outside of our community. As an example, Lions do glasses, vision glasses for kids, and it can go on from there. I know you're going to do some more interviews following this one on what those organizations do, so I won't steal your thunder. But they do a lot.
I want to highlight a little bit Lions Club, and you can steal my thunder anytime, because your thunder is our thunder, and you are one of those people that gives us the vision and the hope, and what? You model some good behaviors. You're a great volunteer. It makes me want to volunteer more. But anyway, I want just a little bit about Lions Club. The Lions Club International is the world's largest service club organization. I didn't know that till I started doing my research for this interview. They have more volunteers and 46,000 clubs worldwide with 14 million members. So, and they do just a huge amount of good works. And I've had a chance to learn about the Lions Club through Wes King, who used to be over the Lions Club, and now he's over the Multiple District 36E District. Wes is a veteran, and I learned that the Lions Club has a program that helps veterans reconnect with their communities by inviting them to serve with the local Lions Clubs. And Lions Club International recognizes that veterans have made a lot of contributions and sacrifices and know that it's a good transitional tool to be a volunteer if you're getting out of the military. And so the Lions Club provides veterans with an opportunity to get involved and serve their communities, and they waive the entrance fee or the charter fee. So if you're a veteran getting out of the military, then you can get into the Lions Club for free. I wanted to talk a little bit about your leadership in general, Mayor Ron. Last year, Vietnam Veterans of America, very busy veterans organization, does a lot for veterans who are homeless, who and just the fellowship. But they wanted to host their very first Vet Fest, and they asked for the fees to be waived, and it went all the way to the city council. And they wanted to use Azalea Park and have that festival and say thank you to those who have supported the veterans over 20 years. So you want to tell us a little bit about what happened that night? Because it seared in my mind. It stuck in my mind.
Well, first of all, veterans always have a spot in my heart because I grew up in that tremendously controversial time in the 60s called the Vietnam War era. I actually ended up serving my country for 2 years as an inductee. Army, military personnel returning from that war were treated so poorly in this country, and then afterwards, that my heart just had a bleeding spot for them all the time. There's quite a dropout rate in society from those types, from those people from that era. And I always ask everybody to make the extra step to reach out and support those individuals, and not them alone, but all of our veterans, in memory of the fact that they have served their country in combat and need our support.
And one of the things that I remember you saying was Vietnam veterans did not get a proper welcome home. I'm choking up when I say that because I could tell that it impacted the veterans community in a huge way.
My favorite saying is Vietnam veterans were left out of the piece of American pie.
Boy, doesn't that hit it right on the head. I've been in meetings with you where you sat down with members from the veterans community to talk about housing and other issues. So I really appreciate the fact that things that you do, like attending the Vietnam Veterans of America chapter and VFW post town hall meeting when we talked about Agent Orange, you attended. That was a huge thing. We had 144 veterans and family members there. Do you know how good it felt to everybody in that room that you came out and honored our veterans with your attendance? That's a huge, huge gift. Thank you for that, Mayor Ron.
That was a small thing to do, but you know, if we stop to consider that as an individual, we can get wiped out pretty easily when we begin to collaborate and come together, how much strength we have. So I'm always looking to see how can we get the veterans groups together.
Anyway, we're so appreciative, and I know that one of the things that I've seen over time is our veterans becoming more and more engaged. It used to be kind of hard to go to public meetings because the city of Brookings has such civil city council meetings. 99.9% of the time you can't control everything, but our veterans are starting to show up more and participate more in civic engagement in a general way, and I think that you help model that for them, but also giving them kind of a true north that they can respect and appreciate. So we're getting close to the end of our time here today, Mayor Ron. Do you want to share an inspirational story about volunteerism, and then we'll wrap it up? Because I know you know a lot of great volunteers, and over the years, probably picking one story is a hard thing to do, but give it a shot.
Well, let me speak in general. I've always been a very private individual and believed in sticking to my own business, and I'm pretty homebound. I've been homebound in my life. Other than to go out to work, I stayed home, took care of my family, took care of my household, let other people mind the community that were charged with it. when I stepped out to start my part that I felt eventually I needed to do anyway, I started my part of volunteering in the community. I tell you that anybody who does take that step, gets involved in the community, will end up being absolutely amazed at the army of volunteers there are in this community. If you take into consideration all the kids' ball clubs that are voluntarily coached and leaded and teamed, and go from there with our garden organizations and all the committees at the city, soup kitchens or community kitchens, we call it, ends up being a large number. And this community is blessed with a great number of volunteers.
So the theme that we have for this series is volunteers make the world go round. Is that not the truth?
Well, at least it certainly makes Community of Brookings survive and excel.
Now, I'm going to wrap it up, but I will not rest easy, and neither will Mr. Hunter, if I don't mention the fact that you came out and helped kick off our first inaugural Texas Hold'em poker tournament. And we had our second one, and I had about five poker players go, "Where's the mayor?" Well, we didn't bother you that time, but I know you would have come out. So thank you for coming out and helping us have that first Texas Hold'em High Noon tournament, because guess what? That fundraising has helped us get on the air. So
you're welcome, Connie. But let me add to everybody that I don't play poker because the rule of the universe is that Ron's going to lose. So I'd rather not be a loser in that one. I'll watch other people win and lose, but I don't want to participate in the losing.
But the good news is you motivate people, and everything was for a good cause. And you know what? I don't play poker very often, but every time Skip has ever played against me, I beat him. Go ahead. You have another story to tell?
I just want to remind everybody that this is an election year. 3 seats on city council are coming up. We also have various different occupancy seats in our committees and commissions that could be filled. If you're looking for a chance to get involved in community activities, I would certainly ask you to take a look at that. They don't require that much time, and you can really get involved in the community at a great level. Some of them are very fun, in fact. City council level is a challenge, but it's a very rewarding challenge. We have 3 seats coming open this election year. Seat 1, 2, and the mayor is coming open. Don't have anybody filed. It's a little too early to file. I think filing starts about June, and the last day to file is about mid-August. And if you file, then you will be on the November ballot for a council seat. It would be interesting to see each seat being challenged by several people.
You know, let's put the challenge out there. Let's get some new people looking at becoming city councilors and even maybe running for mayor. The good news is, we can encourage people to participate at whatever level they're comfortable with.
That's right.
And I think that's really the nuts and bolts of this, because I would be scared to death to run for city council. I am brave about a lot of things, but that would be a hard thing. It takes a special person to make that kind of commitment and to have those leadership skills to make those hard decisions and make those differences. But it's fun.
Let me add this, Connie. It may seem scary and difficult, and you wouldn't want to take that step. And I did likewise 10 years ago. It was scary. But that scare goes away very quickly when you see how nice the city operates, how easy it is to work in it, and how rewarding it is. It goes away very quickly, and your experience level picks up quickly. And the next thing you know, you find yourself making great decisions over issues in the city.
And what's great is when you say that the city is accessible and that people are easy to work with, I have to highlight that. Of course, if we weren't going to be able to tap into that city tower, we would have to do a whole lot more fundraising to get KCIW off the ground. There has been an effort to encourage us in a huge way, not only by providing interviews, but providing us that opportunity. So thank you. And let's get some people running for city council. That'd be awesome.
Let's do it.
And I promised that I would do one more thing. If you're interested in volunteering, I was at the Port of Brookings Harbor Port Commission meeting last night, and Chrissy Cooper Perry talked about the need for volunteers for the port party at the port event over Memorial Day. Of course, the Chamber of Commerce is looking for volunteers for the Azalea Festival, so let's not leave them out. If you want to volunteer for a party at the port, contact Chrissy at 541-787-1703, or you can reach Chrissy Cooper on Facebook. Anything else you want us to know about volunteers, Mayor Ron, before you go out and change the world?
We've covered a lot.
We've done a good job. Anyway, thank you, Mayor Ron, for being here today, and thank you for all that you do in the community. As always, it's an honor to have you on Community Conversation. This is Connie Hunter signing off, and thank you to all the volunteers at all the nonprofits and at the local government level, the service organizations. Thank you to my volunteer of the day, our tech guy extraordinaire, Justin Only. Bottom line, volunteers make the world go round, especially in Curry County. Thank you for being here, Mayor Ron.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.